Churches and pastors in California are fighting back against the tyrannical rule of Gavin Newsom. Lori Lightfoot's an idiot. Not that you need me to explain that, but I will. And the chairman of the Committee to Defend the President, Ted Harvey, stops by to talk about their new ad slamming Joe Biden. And we'll talk about the November election. That all starts. All right, so we've got to start with this. And I'm sure some of you saw this yesterday. But this, my friends, is Petty Officer Sarah Dudry and how she responds to seeing Trump supporters in uniform, by the way. Roll one.
Shame on you. Don't touch anybody. Get back in your car.
Enraged woman in uniform, for those of you listening on the podcast and not watching. But a few thoughts here, and then we'll get on with the show. A, this is not how any human should act. That's some serious rage there and intolerance. I don't care who you support or don't support politically. This is just ridiculous, and he is your boss, by the way. He's the commander-in-chief, as someone very wisely puts in that confrontation there. But B, this is certainly not how someone in uniform should act, as it's directly against regulations to engage in political activity in uniform. And C, it's probably maybe time for the Navy to tighten up its PT standards. Just saying, don't want to be mean, but she's an interesting character, that one. So we know now this. We know that beyond the fact, without a doubt, after seeing and listening to that, the Dudry needs some counseling, maybe some pills. But we also know that the command is investigating the incident. They're aware of the video and the altercation, and people are not happy that it occurred. So we'll see what comes of it. But something needs to come of it, because that was absolutely ludicrous. It was ridiculous that it happened. Some form of discipline needs to come down on her, and there needs to be consequences for her actions, and she needs to be better, because that, again, is just not how anyone should act, certainly someone in uniform serving our United States military. All right, real quick on the program, here's where you can watch or listen, just so you don't feel locked into one source. You can watch on drewberquist.com and all of my social channels, or you can go over to our friend and partner site, lifeset.com, and their social channels. Lots of options. You can also listen for you podcast folks out there on any major podcast platform or on my site. If you find one that we are not on, let us know and we will get there. But I think we're pretty much everywhere that you need us to be. You can also listen on drewberquist.com as well. Speaking of social media, please give us a follow on Facebook and Twitter. You can see our social handles here, so follow and share away. And finally, as always, check us out on YouTube and be sure to subscribe there as well. You can do so right down here in the corner. Also, if you want to receive notifications when we upload a video, just go ahead and click that bell icon right after you subscribe. All right, so a couple stories that I want to get to today before Ted Harvey joins us. So let's go ahead and cruise the headlines. We've all seen or heard at this point about the oppressive and tyrannical rules being pushed down on churches in California by Governor Gavin Newsom. They had, you know, limited gatherings. There was no gatherings, and they limited gatherings of you know, up to 25% or 100 people, whichever was less. And that's changing, and it's getting more restrictive in certain counties as cases spike there in California, just like they are in several states for a myriad of reasons, which we're not going to get into. That's not the point of this. But perhaps the most controversial thing they did, and he did out there, was ban singing in church. Worship is obviously a key part of the church experience. But Gavin doesn't want people singing praises to God, and he really doesn't even want people there. And as you can imagine, people don't like that, and they're starting to push back. One such person is Pastor Greg Farrington, who's actually even considering running for governor against Gavin Newsom because of all this. Farrington is the pastor of a 3,500-member congregation at Destiny Christian Church in the greater Sacramento area, and he said this week that he plans on going to holding in-person religious services, despite Newsom's follow-up shutdown that he announced earlier this week. He said, quote, if we don't take a stand, all we're doing is kicking the can down the road, and we will be having the same conversation in 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months, or even a year from now. He then continued and said, we need to collectively take a stand and say we are the church, and we have a biblical and First Amendment right to worship together. We believe that the local church serves a critical mental health and spiritual and community outreach role in our communities, as affirmed by our Justice Department and executive branch of our government. Our mandate is to obey the word of God, and worship is a part of what we do as church corporately, as we pull together as a community, and we choose to live in faith over fear, just like our currency says, and our founders pledged, where it says that we believe in and in God we trust. So, as you can imagine, he's received support from not only his congregation and all over the state of California, but also from across the country as people push back against these restrictions, particularly as they pertain to worship and getting together for church. The state of California is also, by the way, being sued over this, over these restrictive measures that they've pushed down on churches. And here's, so, and there's other pastors too, beyond Farrington, just to be clear and to be fair, who are pushing back against this. There's one in LA who's doing the same thing, who's, you know, they're opening up their church and saying, this is our right, this is what we're going to do. But here is my problem with this rule and so many other Democrat policies that we're seeing in place right now. They're not consistent. If you want to ban church, and more specifically, as ridiculous as it sounds, singing, then you have to ban everything else that mirrors it or is in that same general category. And some people will say, well, that's happening. That's what's going on. But people, other things are being banned. We're all on lockdown. But it's not what's happening. You know, again, sure, you can point to some other establishments in these Democrat cities that are limited, but we are seeing consistently relaxed policies, or worse yet, no policies at all when it comes to protests, riots, and other anarchist gatherings, because A, the leaders are sympathetic and want chaos because they think it makes the president look bad, and or B, they don't have the balls to stand up for what people deep down they know is right, and they instead cave to one group, Antifa, who literally, legally and literally, is a designated terror group. Granted, they're one with a bunch of unruly kids that their own parents probably don't even want anymore, but terrorists nonetheless. And then they also capitulate to Black Lives Matter, who should be designated a terror group. And that's even worse, because the reason they're doing it is they're scared of being called a racist, when really the exact opposite is true. And they are scared of losing the minority vote, which Democrats have always preyed on and relied on. It's a huge part of their platform. But if you look at the stats, you look at the realities, Democrats never take care of their people. They never talk about these issues unless it's an election year. Soon as the election's over, it's back to, we don't need you guys. We'll come back when it's time. So make it consistent. If you want to be safe, as you would call it, then close everything. Be consistent across the board. Don't ban church, but allow gatherings like this. You see these protests all over the city, all over the country. I would advise that. I wouldn't advise against closing everything, but if we're going to be doing this for the well-being of others, as you claim, and we should, that's how we should be handling this, then let's do it the right way. And if we're going to lean on science, as Democrats always do, and claim that Republicans don't, then shut it all down. Shut it down across the board. Again, I don't advise that. I don't think it's a smart play. And you won't do it because that doesn't align with your agenda and your thoughts. Instead, you'll continue to oppress the people and activities that you don't like or agree with, while allowing the biggest crowds, like the ones we just saw, to gather in opposition to supposed tyrannical rule by the president and federal government, when in fact there's no evidence of that. There's none. America is still the most free country on the planet that allows you to do stupid crap like that. And rather, we've seen the most tyrannical leadership come from the likes of you, Gavin Newsom, from Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, from Kate Brown in Oregon, and the list goes on and on. And don't even get me started on mayors. Looking at you, de Blasio, Ted Wheeler, Jenny Durkin. They are among the worst examples of leadership that I have seen in a long time, and the overreach has to stop. And until you're consistent in your rulings and you stop saying stupid things like all gatherings are prohibited, unless it's a Black Lives Matter protest, you're going to be called on the carpet for it. You're going to be called the fool that you are, and people are going to push back. Okay, moving on. I'll try and do this real quick here before we get to the break. We've addressed ad nauseum Chicago, you know, Lori Lightfoot, but we have to chat about this for a second. We know that the Dems are enraged that the president sent assistance to Portland to help quell the violence that Ted Wheeler wouldn't. And we know that there are now reports that 150 federal agents are being dispatched to Chicago to help with their raging violence. But inept Mayor Lori Lightfoot has pushed back, saying she doesn't want President Trump's help. She doubled down with her rhetoric, tweeting this yesterday. Under no circumstance, will I allow Donald Trump's troops to come to Chicago and terrorize our residents. And you know what's the sad, sad irony about the timing of her statement? As she was tweeting defiantly about not wanting or needing, which she clearly does, support in one of America's most violent cities, more than 14 people were shot in a mass shooting incident at a funeral. Roll two.
A black vehicle speeding westbound on 79th Street in the 1000 block began firing at attendees of a funeral. At that time, the attendees of the funeral exchanged gunfire with the black vehicle. Black vehicle then turned northbound down Carpenter. Upon going northbound down Carpenter, it continued to fire at the attendees of the funeral, at which time the vehicle midway down the block crashed and came to a halt. The occupants of the vehicle then exited in multiple directions and fled. We currently have a person of interest.
You can kind of get the sense there of what's happening, right? It's awful. It's awful what's happening there, and it's awful that the people of Chicago have a mayor who's playing the game and not figuring out any and all ways to better her city, which she should be doing, and make people safe. Just saying you want it to be better does nothing. And actively refusing support shows that you don't want it to improve because you've clearly demonstrated that you can't do it on your own. But her logic, like many of the Democrats, after help was sent to Portland, is that these very normal federal agents, I'm not saying they're normal people, they're very talented and they are actually have more elite units there, but they're doing their everyday normal job. And they're calling them some form of special police. Here's what AOC tweeted out just this week about all this. The United States of America should not have secret police. Nancy Pelosi called our agents stormtroopers. And what scares me about the state of America is that on that AOC tweet, you could see that over 500,000 people liked it and allegedly support it or think it's true in some form or fashion. Folks, there are no secret police. These are federal agents from tactical units within DHS who are simply helping enforce our nation's laws. I know enforcing laws is a foreign concept in Democrat-run cities, but this is their charter. This is their job, and that is all that they are doing. I'm not going to share specific information about, you know, my old job, but I had a very, very high security clearance in what I did, and not everyone knows everything. There's a need to know. That's part of the procedure and policy in place. But I can assure you that we do not have a secret police. Again, these are federal agents that are coming to help restore order to your city, not arrest common people or make police, you know, a police-like state. That's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. It's like when some of the phone stuff came out years and years ago and capabilities are discovered and people knew that NSA is capable of listening to a conversation. Folks, they're not listening to your conversation unless you're a terrorist or doing something wrong, there's no reason to listen to yours. The same thing here. These agents aren't there to be the secret police. They're there to take Antifa domestic terrorists off the street. They're there to help because your mayors won't do a damn thing to fix your cities that are descending into a state of disrepair. So if you don't like the president, that's fine. That is your prerogative. You don't have to. This is not a show about Trump. We're literally just talking about reality here and trying to make America normal again. But if you like your city and your future, like your individual future for you and your family and your loved ones, as a side point, if you're in Antifa, you likely won't have a family because you can't even decide which gender you are from day to day. But for you normal folks out there, You should want change and not this anarchy that's destroying your city. But if you think long term that we're going to let you burn businesses to the ground, we're going to let you assault police officers and people with just different opinions than you and let violence go unchecked forever, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And if you hate it here so much, you should get the hell out of our country. Because America's not going to turn into the socialist shithole that you want it to be. Sorry, it's just not. And I've said this before, but if you're a God-fearing, America-loving patriot, now is not the time to be silent and hope things get better. Hope is necessary. It's a good thing, but hope produces nothing. Action does. We need people to stop being silent and stand up for what you believe, or the shit that's happening in Democrat cities across the country will come to your location and it'll stare you down the face. Granted, it'll be a weak beta male or an angry feminist staring you down, but they will come in mass, and the cities that stand up and push back will be just fine. Might not be fun, but they will be fine. But the ones that don't, and the ones that have leaders like Lori Lightfoot or Ted Wheeler out there in Portland, they're in for a whole lot more violence. A whole lot more violence. It's time to rise up, people. Stop being silent. The silent majority thing, I get it. It's time to not be a part of that anymore. It's time to just be a part of the majority who fight back and push and fight for this country. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by someone who is doing just that, the chairman of the Committee to Defend the President, Ted Harvey, and we'll discuss their new ad slamming Biden and how the election's shaping up. Stick around.
Black lives do matter, but one presidential candidate disagrees. He's partnered with segregationists, praised KKK members, wrote a bill that targeted and incarcerated black Americans, was caught on the record repeating the N-word twice, and even claimed that integrating education would turn our schools into, quote, a racial jungle. That presidential candidate is Joe Biden. The Committee to Defend the President paid for and is responsible for the content of this message.
All right, so that new ad is being run by the Committee to Defend the President, and we are joined by their chairman, Ted Harvey. Now, Ted, good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, absolutely. First off, great ad. How has the response been since that's been released?
Well, it's been great. We've got a lot of coverage on social media, and a lot of news programs across the country have carried it. Obviously, the Democrats and the mainstream media are freaking out, because we are telling the truth to the American people about Joe Biden's horrible record on civil rights over the last 40 years. And they want to cover that up and they want to sweep it under the rug, but we're not going to allow them to do it. So they're freaking out over it.
Yeah. Well, and good on you for doing that, because I think, you know, you mentioned the mainstream media and the Democrats don't want to see this or hear this, because obviously it's not good for them. But with them controlling so much of the media, you know, the masses don't hear this. They don't hear these types of things. And I, one thing that I'm curious about is, you're going to probably hear, and maybe you already have heard, because I know, you know, we ran an old video of him saying something else earlier this week, and everyone pushed back immediately on the left and said, well, it's old and people can change. Are people going to push back and say, well, that's the old Biden, or in his case, he literally doesn't remember because he's lost cognitive function. But like, what has been the response there?
Oh, well, I've never heard anybody say that that's the old Biden, because that would be total BS. The media has spent the last 5 years coming after Trump and destroying him and trying to paint him as a racist. They've been trying to paint every supporter of the president as a racist. And if you look at the president's record, there has been nothing but doing everything he can to help the African-American community, the Hispanic community. Every one of his policies has been huge for all stripes in America, no matter what their nationality or what their economic background is. But you look at the record of Biden, and it is a racist background. And there is no way to hide that record. And what has he done for 40 years to try to make America better for the minorities in this country. He has nothing to offer. And Trump has 4 years of a record that has shown, you know, lowest unemployment for African Americans, for Hispanics, for Asian Americans, for women. The Democrats can't compete against that, and they know it. And so they've been doing everything they can to try to destroy President Trump with this fake racist narrative.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a great point. I mean, I don't understand either. Talked about it, I think, earlier this week on the show, whenever it was, it doesn't matter. But how you've got these folks and people continue to rally around them and support them. Biden, you know, as we're talking about here, 4 decades of service, no results. You've got Pelosi, 34 years of being a congresswoman or approaching 34 years of being a congresswoman, no results. But people, and they keep lying to these minority groups, but people keep falling for it. So hopefully this ad helps. What else can we do to get the truth out to these minority, you know, communities who typically vote Democrat, and kind of wake them up a little bit to the truth?
Well, we've been trying to do that with the Committee to Defend the President. I encourage everybody to go to our website, committeedefendthepresident.com, and look at the commercials that we've been running. We ran a very hard-hitting commercial in North Carolina right before the North Carolina primary. If you remember that the huge outcry that happened, President Obama actually came out against us. It was the first time he ever raised his head out of the foxhole and got involved in the primary, because we ran a commercial with President Obama's voice talking about how the Democrats year after election, year after election, year after election year, come out to the African-American community and make all of these promises and say all of this junk. And then after the Democrats get elected and the African-American community votes for them, then the Democrats do nothing to help the African-American community. And our message was, if you really do want to have change and to help your families and help yourself and make America great again, vote for Donald Trump. If you want the same old, vote for the Democrats. And if you look what's happening across the country right now in Democrat states and Democrat cities that have been run by the Democrat machine for the last, you know, 50 years, look what's happening right now. You're having riots and destruction of property and people getting hurt and murdered in these Democrat areas. And those Democrat leaders are supporting the riots. If that's what you want, mob rule, then vote for Joe Biden and the Democrats. If you want the rule of law and you want peace and prosperity, then vote for Donald Trump and vote for the Republicans. And that's the message, I think, that's really going to be the defining debate moving forward into November.
Yeah. Well, and I can't wait for those, you know, the actual debates. Should they happen? I'm still concerned they're going to try and pull something and weasel their way out, because they know that those debates are coming, and they know that Biden, you know, can't hold a candle to Trump in those debates, and he's just going to get angry and threaten to fight people and do all the stuff that Crazy Joe always does. But speaking of him and this race, we keep hearing about these polls, right, and how Biden has, in some cases, a double-digit lead. We know those numbers are simply a game and more of a scare tactic to keep people away and concede and what have you. But how do you know, even with people knowing that the polls were total BS in 2016 and just fabricated, how do you fight back against that now after 4 years of really everyone being in the fight? This has been the most contentious 4 years perhaps on record, and now these polls are there. How do you convince people to be like, no, don't listen to the polls. You still got to fight more than ever. I think the violence in the cities is helping, because no one wants that. But what do you think?
Well, I think you're exactly right about the violence in the inner cities. I think the average conservative, moderate, blue collar, hardworking Democrat out there is looking at what's happening in the inner cities of our country, and that the Democrat leadership of the Democrat Party is supporting these riots. I think the average Democrat, average unaffiliated, are looking at that and they're saying, that's not the Democrat Party of my parents and grandparents, and I'm not going to go there. And then you put that up against the success of the Trump administration for the first 3 years prior to the COVID outbreak. I think they're going to say, we want to go with the guy who is actually working his butt off to make America great again, and he's actually accomplishing it. And you put those two things up, and I think in the end, Trump is going to win in a landslide. And like you said, the mainstream media polls that are out there right now is nothing more than just to try to inspire their base, because they know, if you look at the polls that came out yesterday, the African-American support of Biden, there is none. And if Trump gets 20, 25, 30% of the African-American vote across the country, there's no way that Biden's going to win in November.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I hope that those numbers continue to improve, as they should, based on merit, if the message can continue to get out there. But and I hope that there's a lot of people that just are, to your point, you know, some of those more moderate Democrats who are like, you know what, I'm not going to say this out loud, but when I go to that booth, hopefully it's not a mail-in situation, but when I actually go to that location, I'm going to vote for Trump, because even though I don't agree with him as a Democrat, hopefully they can cut through the BS and say, I don't want this though. And I hope that there is a large portion of America that is thinking and feeling that way, or at least wrestling with it right now. I
think if you would look at the actions of the Democrats, they realize that the polls are wrong. That you wouldn't be having the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, and international intelligence community across the world trying to destroy Donald Trump. You wouldn't have the Mueller investigations. You wouldn't have the impeachment. You wouldn't have the shutdown of the country over a virus that has a 99.2% survival rate. And you wouldn't have these riots that are spontaneously rising up across the country if Donald Trump was losing massively. Right. The only reason why you have this coordinated effort is because the Democrats are looking at their internal polls and they realize that they are losing. And if they lose, that means that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to be replaced. And that means that Trump is going to continue to be able to input all of his policies for the next 4 years. And it's going to make America great again. God forbid that will be the worst thing that ever happened to the Democrat Party.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. None of this stuff is happening if he's not doing well, and if they don't have one of the worst candidates ever in Joe Biden, which they do. Another interesting just facet to this whole conversation, though, is, of course, what's going on this summer. I think AG Barr has done a hell of a job. It's nice to see someone in government service actually stand up and just do what is right, as opposed to getting all involved in politics and focusing more on the career than actually doing their job. But he's done a heck of a job. And you've got Durham, who's got this investigation going on in the background. There's reports that some of these findings are going to come out perhaps in September, maybe earlier, but hopefully before the election. Do you think that happens? And is there enough there to make a difference in people's minds as they go to the polls?
Well, I've been saying since this whole thing started to break back in 2017 that this is the greatest scandal in American history, that you had the Obama administration and the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA doing everything they could to spy on U.S. citizens during a presidential race, and the media is completely complicit in that. If that happened under a Republican administration, the media would be outraged, rightly so. I would be outraged. I think every American would be outraged. But for some reason, we have the Democrat Party and the media saying that it is okay for the Obama administration to be spying on American citizens. And I think that the proof is there, the evidence is there, and the Durham report, he is a prosecutor. I don't think it's going to be a report. I think it's going to be indictments that are going to come forward. And he is one of the best prosecutors that our nation has. And we already have the evidence. We know what happened, and there's definitely going to be indictments. The question is, are we going to be able to have grand juries to be able to come forward with those indictments? And I would argue that is one of the main reasons why the media and the Democrats have been promoting this COVID shutdown, is to prevent these cases from going before a grand jury, because they want to run out the clock. Because if Trump doesn't get elected, then these cases go away, and they want to run out the clock. And I think that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. I think it's wise. And I think the other thing that's troubling, too, and I was talking about this with someone the other day, and then we got to run, but is, you know, that those that's the game plan. That's, you know, the GOP's got their facts. Durham's got the facts. They're getting ready to present this and indict people, try and take that case forward. you know, the Democrats are obviously, as you said, trying to stall and make sure this just doesn't happen and kind of goes away and then cover it up with some other media story. But let's say it does happen. My concern for where we are in the country is, again, with the mainstream media just pushing their narrative and their lies out there and the masses taking it and running with it as truth, is as soon as there's an indictment, let's say Comey is indicted or Brennan is indicted or whoever's indicted, you're going to have the Anderson Coopers of the world and people like this coming out and saying, well, this is just it's a scandal and it's a hoax and it's wrong. And then you're still going to have half the country, you know, believing these, you know, the Don Lemons and the Anderson Coopers of the world who are just saying, well, it's wrong and it's, we hate Trump, so we have to not like this, this finding. And that's a concern of mine too, and it's a concern for just the greater good of the country, because again, it's such a hyper-partisan state that we're in. I see that as being somewhat of an issue too. I mean, ultimately, the law is the law, and I want indictments, and I want people to go down. So we set a precedent that if you do something wrong, actions have consequences. That used to be the way the world worked. Hopefully, we can get back to that. But I'm concerned that there's so many people who just won't even trust it.
I hear you, and I think that's why we needed to take it out of Congress. We shouldn't be having congressional hearings on this. It needs to go before a jury of their peers, and it's the jury of their peers that will be convicting these people and bringing them to justice. And there's no way the media can say this is just another political spin on you know, one party against another. This is a jury against their peers. They're going to be convicted and they're going to be going to jail. And there's no way they can hide that, even though they have been doing everything they can to go after, you know, all of Trump's team and saying that they're a bunch of criminals and trying to spin this for the last 5 years. And then there's no proof or no evidence of any crimes on behalf of the Trump campaign. That was all political. Now you're going to see people actually going to jail, being convicted by a jury of their peers and going to jail, and there's no way they can spin that.
I love it. And I can't wait to see all this stuff unfold. We've got to run, but Ted, thanks so much for being here, and keep up all the awesome work that you guys are doing over there.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Go to committeetodefendthepresident.com. See everything we're doing. We appreciate it.
You got it. Folks, be sure to do that. Like he said, committeetodefendthepresident.com. Get involved. See what they're doing. It's really great stuff. But for now, we got to take off. It's a great show. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate you tuning in. Make sure that you share away with friends and family. Be sure to click the subscribe button below on YouTube if you haven't. Give us a like on Facebook and Twitter as well. And remember, folks, we've all got our own opinions and ideas, and it's important that we discuss them like we do. But this is my show, and we hope you enjoyed it. See you tomorrow.